طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our third session, third class, book two, Medina course. Alhamdulillah, يعني first two classes we covered some good amount of material, but hopefully today we'll finish the chapter that we started and start with the next chapter. I hope everybody did receive the email reminder, including the audio files for the vocabulary bank for book two, which we had not found previously. Alhamdulillah, one of the sisters found it and sent it to us, and I sent it by email this week. I hope you have received it. Medina book two, vocabulary bank. Naam, audio files. I'm sorry, not the audio file, the written vocabulary bank. Yeah, I'm sorry. Also, I mentioned in the email that reminding everyone to please write out the exercises that we did last week, and to complete what remained from lesson number one. There were just a couple of exercises remaining which we didn't do orally. We did not do orally last week, and I reminded you to please complete those exercises so that today we can go on to the next lesson. We will look at those exercises today, but we just want to go through them quickly. Also, you were supposed to review the grammatical points and the vocabulary from the first lesson. All the grammatical points and all the vocabulary from the first lesson, that was part of our homework. And finally, you should constantly, always, yani be listening to the audio files for the lessons so that you train your ear to be able to recognize what you hear. And from time to time, we will, Walaikum Salaam, from time to time, we will read to you and ask you to close your book and to write what you hear. From time to time, I will read to you and ask you to close your book and write what you hear. So start practicing, listening to the audio files, and practice writing what you hear so that you can write what you hear. If you don't practice, you're not going to be able to do it. It's not easy to write what you hear unless you practice. So you have to start practicing, inshallah, so that it will remove some of the difficulty. The last thing that I reminded everybody of is to preview lesson number two. That is the key in the Arabic dialogue in the beginning of the lesson. And this should be a constant instruction for homework, that whenever we finish a lesson, when we're going to start a new lesson, always preview the new lesson. Read it, especially read the grammatical points. Go over the vocabulary, try to memorize as much of them as possible, at least familiarize yourself with the words so that even if you didn't memorize them, you have an idea. When you hear those words or you see those words, you have an idea what they mean. If you see it in the context of a sentence, if you're familiar with the word, even if you didn't memorize it, you can figure it out. So you have to start reviewing the vocabulary before we start the lesson, so that when we read the lesson, the new lesson, you have some idea what we're reading. Previewing the lesson is extremely helpful. When you come to the class and we read a lesson and you already read it before, even if you don't understand everything, you have some idea what's going on. It makes it easier for you to follow. And you can also highlight or note the things that you didn't understand so you can pay attention, especially and extra attention to those things that you found difficulty with. Normally in the beginning of the class, what we're going to do is we're going to review what we covered in the last class, and we'll take questions about anything that we covered previously. And after that, we're going to go through the English key, the grammar and vocabulary, and then we'll read the dialogue in the beginning of the Arabic text of the lesson, and then we'll do the exercises orally, which you are supposed to do at home. You're supposed to write them out. Before we start lesson number two, we do have some exercises remaining from the last lesson. We're going to read those exercises. But before that, even, I'm going to just quickly go over the points that we covered in the previous classes. Okay, somebody tell me something that we covered in the previous classes. Naam. Inna? Inna. Okay. Inna. What is inna? Somebody. Naam. Emphasis. Inna gives emphasis to a statement. Okay? It gives emphasis to a statement. If somebody said, Al-Kitabu Kabirun. Al-Kitabu Kabirun. If somebody said that, right? That means what? The book is big. But what if they want to emphasize this point? So they use something for emphasis like inna. So they say what? Inna al-kitab kabir, right? But when you use inna, what happens to the sentence that was previously just a mubtada and a khabar? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. What happens to that sentence that was previously a mubtada and a khabar? What happens? Somebody tell me what happens now. Okay, first of all, what kind of sentence is it from the beginning before we had inna? What do we call this type of sentence? Huh? A nominal sentence. In Arabic it's called what? Al-jumla fi'liya? Ismiya. Okay, because it begins with the ism. Jumla ismiya. Jumla fi'liya begins with a fi'l. Right? So this is a jumla ismiya, nominative sentence. When you put inna, when you introduce inna to that sentence, what happens to this sentence? Naam. The mubtada becomes ismu inna. That's one thing. And the khabar becomes khabaru inna. Okay, what else happens?
Change the dhamma to a
fatha. He said it changes the dhamma to a fatha. Which means, tell us more about that. Anything. If it changes, why does it change the dhamma to a fatha?
Because of the inna.
Because the ism of inna is mansoob. Ism inna is mansoob. And the sign that it's mansoob is fatha. Changes to fatha, why? Because ism inna is mansoob. The mubtada, in any jumla ismiya, the mubtada is marfu'un. It's marfu'un. And the khabar is also marfu'un. Okay? But, if you introduce inna, then that which was the mubtada is no longer mubtada anymore. It's now what? Ism inna. And ism inna is not marfu'un, it's mansubun. And the sign of something being mansub is fatta. That's good? Okay, that's the most important thing we took in the last lesson. Along with that, there was another point that's directly related to this in the lesson. What was that?
La'alla.
Okay? La'alla. We also had another harf, la'alla. We said that inna is used for emphasis, right? Means certainly, surely, definitely, verily, like that, right? What about la'alla? What does that mean? Okay, it indicates one of two things. One, fear, and two, hope. Okay, depending on the context of the sentence, it might indicate the person's fear of something bad happening, or it may indicate the person's hope of something good happening. And if you say, La'alla al-mudarris marid. That means hope or fear? Fear. Fear. I fear that the teacher is sick. Okay? But if somebody said, La'alla al-kafir marid, then it might have a different meaning, right? I hope that kafir is sick. Nah, because he's a tyrant, an oppressor, and a wrongdoer, a disobedient, filthy, corrupt person. So he deserves to be sick. But if the Muslim is sick, maybe it inshallah is good too, right?
No.
Because it means it's expiation of sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he visits a sick person, he said to him what? La ba's. Tuhur inshallah. La ba's. It's not harmful to you. This is not something bad, but it is tuhur. Purification of your sins inshallah. inshallah, if the person is patient with it, then inshallah it's a means of expiation of sins. If they're not patient with it and they complain, and maybe it'd be no good. It'd just be pain, suffering, sickness, and no benefit. But if you're patient with whatever calamity Allah has decreed before you, inshallah it's expiation of sins. It's multiplication of hasanat. And it's rafa' al-darajat, raising up your degrees. Naam. So the Prophet said, tuhur, inshallah. And at least it's purification of your sins. Okay, so la'alla means hope or fear, right? La'alla, how does it work in reference to the mubtada and the qabr? It works the same way as inna. Okay, so la'alla is from akhawatu inna, meaning it functions the same way. The mubtada of a sentence becomes mansoob by la'alla, and the khabar remains marfoon. Okay, also last week, I mean, we in the last 2 weeks we've been talking about this. We're just going over just to make sure we didn't forget, right? We also covered dhu, right? Dhu. What do we mean by dhu? What is this all about, dhu? This word dhu, what does it mean? Now, it means the possessor or sahib. In Arabic, it means sahib, the one who possesses or owns something. Person who has possession of certain qualification, characteristic, possession of some physical thing, entity or whatever. You say, dhu khuluqin. Person has what? Possess what? Good character. Dhu ilmin. Person who what? Is learned. Person who possess knowledge. And so on. Dhu malin. What we said about this dhu is that the word that comes after it, what is its case grammatically? We say that it is majroor. And the sign that it's majroor is what? Kasra. Why is it majroor? Because it's mudaf mudaf ilay. Dhu ilmin, dhu malin. It's mudaf mudaf ilay. And the mudaf ilay is always majroor. And the sign that it's majroor is kasra. Jayid? We also had... Yeah, we're going to come back to that one last, inshallah. Let's take the easy ones first. We had ghalin, right? Ghalin. What does this mean? Ghalin. What does it mean? What's the meaning of it? Expensive. Expensive. And if somebody said, for example, al-kitabu ghalin, can we understand from that that al-kitabu is marfoon, right? Sign that is marfoon is dhamma. And ghalin is majroorun. So the sign that is majroor is kasra. Is that correct?
No.
Huh? It's not? It's not majroor? It's mansoob? He said it's mansoob. And the sign that it's mansoob is kasra? Okay, are you saying that it's mansoob, or are you saying that it's marfoon?
Oh, no.
Ghaliyun. We're saying that it's marfoon. It's marfoon. And the sign that it's marfoon is dhamma. It's dhamma. But in this word, because it's a special type of word, and we saw some other words like this, right? Like qadin and muhamin and wadin and like words like that. What happens in this type of word, because of the type of word is a special structure, the ya is deleted, and along with it, and along with it, it's dhamma. That indicates that it's marfoon. The ya and the dhamma is deleted. And what remains is the tanween, which is transferred to the kasra of the previous letter, and it becomes ghalin. Okay, the ya and its vowel, its dhamma that indicates its marfoon, is deleted. But when it's deleted, the tanween remains and is transferred to the vowel of the previous letter that remains, the lam. And so it looks like it's majroorun, but in fact it's marfoon. Anyway, these words, when you learn them, you just remember that this word, if it's in the masculine form, it's going to look like it's majroor, but it's actually marfoon. Okay, because its last letter is deleted, and its vowel is deleted, and that vowel is the vowel that indicates that it's marfoon. Okay, so it's just a word that you have to memorize, like certain For example, broken plurals, you got to memorize that they're mamnu' min as-sarf. Or certain type of words, you just got to memorize them. Okay? Walaykum salam. There are some words that are special words, right? Like normal words, if you have, for example, alimun, and you want to make it feminine, what do you do to it? At-tarmabuta. And change the last vowel to, before the tarmabuta, to fatta. So alimun becomes alimatun. Hakimun, hakimatun. Qawiyun, qawiyatun, right? But there are some words you can't do that. You can't change, you can't just add tarmabuta to it and make it feminine, right? For example, imra'atun. What's the feminine of, I mean, what's the, I'm sorry, not imra'atun. Like, bintun. What's the plural of bintun? Banatun. What's the plural of imra'atun? Nisa'un. Some words don't follow the normal patterns. That's really what I'm trying to bring out. That some words don't follow normal patterns. So some words you just have to memorize. If you memorize the word, then, you know, these type of words you have to memorize them, okay? There's certain patterns that we follow in normally, but in certain cases it might not hold out for every single word. But that would be the general rule. Okay, so there are some words that deviate from the normal pattern. And this word right here is a type of word, special type of word, that doesn't follow the normal pattern. It doesn't show that it's marfu'un by the sign of dhamma, because that dhamma is deleted from it. So you just have to pay attention to that, and you have to memorize those words. Okay, the other word that we had, the numbers that we had for 100 and 1,000, right? 100 and 1,000, are what? Miyatun and alfun. And what did we say about these numbers? What can we say about them? Okay, that the Aleph in Mia is written usually, in some cases, sometimes they don't write it, but it's normally written, but it's not pronounced. Okay, so we pronounce it as though the Aleph is not there. We pronounce it Mi-Atun. Okay, that's one thing. What else? Okay, so you're saying that the ma'dud, instead of it being plural like it is with numbers from 3 to 10, it will be singular. So you say what? For example, mi'atu. Okay, it will be singular and it will be majroor. And the same thing here, with alf, it will be what? Singular and majroor. What else have to happen to this? If we put it in a number like this, the adad and ma'dud. What's the relationship between these two words? Are they sifa and mausuf or na'at and man'ut or what? They're mudaf, mudaf ilay. They're an idafa. That's why this is majroor, because it's an idafa. So in order for it to be an idafa, what do we have to do with the mudaf word? The tanween. The first word of the mudafa, idafa construction never takes alif, lam, or tanween, right? So with these numbers, this word miyatun, if you connect it to a ma'dud, it's in idafa, it's mudaf, mudaf ilay. So this has to be a single vowel, could be dhamma, fatta, or kasra, depending on what's before, and this would be majroor. The first word of the idafa, it can be marfu'un with dhamma, can be majroor with kasra, can be mansub with fatta, depending on what's before. But the second word of the idafa always has to be majroor. Okay, but in this case, unlike from 3 to 10, the ma'dud is plural. But here, the ma'dud is singular, mufrad, singular. Okay, so that's what we said. And we also said that these two numbers, mi and alf, no matter what the ma'dud is, masculine or feminine, they don't change. Mi'a keeps this form, even if the ma'dud is masculine or feminine. Doesn't matter. And same thing with alf. It remains in this form, no matter if the ma'adud is masculine or feminine. Okay, unlike the numbers from 3 to 10, the adad and ma'adud are what? X. They're the opposite of each other. If the adad, if the ma'adud is feminine, then the adad is going to be masculine and vice versa. Okay, the last thing that we talked about last week, and this will we'll stop with this point here, and that is this construction. Well, what is it? Somebody tell me. What was the last thing that we covered? The last point that was from our first two lessons.
You did
There's one more point.
Istifham.
Okay, istifham. Okay, so we said we want to concentrate on this, the use of the word M, which means what?
Or.
And there's another word that means or. What is it? Au. Both of them mean or, right? Both of these words mean or. But for primary use, right, primarily, when we have a question, we're asking a question about two things that you want to specify one or the other of them. In question form, istifham, you're going to use M. You're not going to use or. Okay? Especially if the question is that you use, you're asking the question with hamzatul istifham. When you're using hamza, hamzatul istifham. Okay, so if you want to say, is he rich or poor? You're asking a question about two things. Is he this one or that one? Is he tall or short? Is he young or old? Did he go to Mecca or to Medina? Okay, you're asking about two things. So when you use hamzatul istifham to ask a question about two things, you're going to use M with that. Okay? And you're going to use it in a certain format, right? If you're asking about two things, the two things you're asking about, for example, is he Tawil or is he Qasir? One of those things is going to come after what? Hamzatul istifham. And the other one is going to come after what? M. Immediately. So you're going to say what? الطويل هو أم قصير الطويل هو not أهو طويل أم قصير no not أهو قصير أم طويل but rather you're going to say الطويل هو القصير هو أم طويل whichever however way you want to say it okay. So this construction is a little bit yani tricky. It's not really tricky, but you just got to pay attention that you always that what the one of the things that you're asking about has to come immediately after hamzatul istifham, and then whatever else in the sentence will come after that, not before it. And then the other thing that you're asking about will come immediately after am, and whatever else comes with it is after that. Okay, the two things you're asking about should come immediately after hamzatul istifham and after am. Damir or whatever else is in the sentence, it will come after that. Okay, like for example, you said, if you said, for example, A ila Mecca Zahaba Am ila al Medina. Right? A ila Mecca, that's one thing, or ila al Medina. Which one did he go to, Mecca or Medina? Don't say أذهب إلى مكة أم ذهب إلى المدينة. Not أذهب إلى المدينة ذهب أم إلى مكة. Anyway, we dealt with that also in the last class. We talked about it. I don't know if we did the exercise related to that point. Did we do the exercise?
Yeah.
We did some of them, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right. So, if your memory is like mine, then you should have went home and done some homework so that you can remember this stuff. But if your memory is like a 16-year-old, then maybe you don't need to do homework. Like nobody here is 16, right? So we all need to do homework. Alright, so please do homework. Those are the things that we covered in the first lesson. And we have a few exercises to remain. Let's look at those exercises and then, inshallah, we start the next lesson. Okay, so let's just look at the exercises that remain from lesson number one. If anybody remember what was the last exercise that we did? Exercise nine. We still going to read Ashara again? But we did nine?
Yes,
okay, we did nine, right? Okay, in any case, in Dhu, one of the things that I didn't mention just now in review I forgot to mention that ذو, it has a masculine and feminine form, and it has a singular and plural form, right? So masculine singular is ذو, and masculine and plural is what? ذو. And feminine singular is what? That. And feminine plural is? ذوات. Okay? And then we did that exercise number 9 in the last class. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, number 10, 11, and 12 remain, huh? And 13. Wow, we have a lot left. Okay, let's try to go through it quickly as possible because you should have already done it for homework. That was part of the assignment that I sent you by email to finish the exercises. You don't get emails? Then there's something wrong with your email because your name is on the list.
Yes.
I remember there was a brother who wasn't getting emails. And then one day he came to me and he said, you know what? Remember I kept saying I wasn't getting emails? He said, 6 months of emails. They were all there all the time. He said, my son did something and it opened up. And they were all there, just piles of emails. They were there all the time. Sometimes, you know, we don't know enough about this stuff. So you got to ask some of the kids, the children. They know about this.
You can check junk mail,
priority mail, all kind of stuff they got. You got to double check, okay? But the other thing that you can do is send me an email, and I'll respond to it. Send it to the one that we normally get the emails from, right? I don't know what is that, MAB something, right? Send me an email. When you get first chance you get, send me an email. Inshallah, when I open up and check it, I'll respond to you. And then we'll know, like, what's happening, okay? Because if I respond to you and you don't get it, then you know it's really something wrong, right? Because it's not that I typed the wrong address, right? That means there's something wrong, because automatically going back to wherever it came from. So send me an email today, inshallah, and then we'll try to correct it. I'll look at it and try to see what's going on. All right? Alaykum salam.
طيب. Your email is ABACHILLY, like that?
I got it. It's on there, for sure. It's on there. But I don't know. It could be a number of different things. 2 weeks ago, not this past week, the week before, there were some problems with the emails, because I had a problem with the email service from Verizon. They had messed it up, and it took days before they fixed it. But that could have been that time.
Yes.
But you're saying before that, you wasn't getting email?
No.
Oh, that week. Oh, then that's fixed now, alhamdulillah. These people are criminals. They take a lot of money and then they don't, your stuff break down, it's their fault, and they take as long as they like to fix it. Allah yahdihim. Yeah. Right, then that's the problem then. That's the problem. There was a problem, yeah.
No.
Tayyip, you have a question about it?
No, I knew that we spoke about it.
Okay, I mean, normally if you ask a question, for example, the price of something, right? You say, become هذا الكتاب. This B, this ba, harf jar ba, become, right? هذا الكتاب. This ba here, comes back in the answer. You say, هذا الكتاب بمئتي ريالين. That's where the B comes from. بمئتي, بألفي, it comes from here, from the question.
From the question.
The B here means, what is the price of it? The price is come, how much? Come. Become هذا means, what is the price of it? What is the value of it? Okay, so when you answer, you say, هذا بألفي ريالين. I'll be me at Rialin or whatever. Okay? Come Thaman. You can say Nam. Come Thaman Uhada. Nam. Alright? So that's where the B comes from. It means that Hadha Kitab B, it is in exchange for 100 rials or 1,000 rials or whatever it may be. Okay, let's look at exercise number 10 on page number 10. Exercise number 10 on page number 10. This exercise is dealing with the harf la'alla, which may mean a tarajji, hope, or it may mean al-ishfaq, Yani fear of something. You fear something or you hope something. Okay? It says, أدخل لعل على الجمل الآتية علما بأن لعل من أخوات إن. Okay, what does that mean? أدخل, that's a command verb, right? فعل أمر. أدخل from what? From داخل, almost. It's from داخل, the command from داخل يدخل is أدخل. This is أدخل. This is from the fourth form. أدخل يدخل. أدخل. It's the fourth form of the verb. دخل is the first form. دخل is the second form. دخل is the third form. أدخل is the fourth form. أدخل. أدخل يدخل. أدخل. Okay, just make a note of that. Inshallah, it's from صرف, from book number 3. But the point is, that's not from دخل. The command from دخل is أدخل. أدخل. Enter. أدخل means to cause something else to enter. All right? طيب. أدخل لعل. That means to introduce or to put, to enter this word لعل على الجمل الآتية. الجملي. الجمل is the plural of what? جملة. The sentences الآتية, the following sentences. علمًا, knowing, with full knowledge of what? Ilman bi'anna, knowing that la'alla is from akhawatu inna. So what are we saying here? He's saying, use la'alla in the following sentences, right? Keeping in mind what? Knowing what? That la'alla is from the akhawatu inna. It works the same way as inna. It makes the mubtada mansub, and the khabar remains marfoon. Okay, so that's how we're going to work with la'alla, right? The same way we worked with inna. And also keep it in mind, right, that these pronouns, huwa and he and anta and he and anti, these pronouns have to be changed, right, from their marfu'un form, from their disconnected form, munfasil form, to the muttasil form, connected form. Huh? So we're not going to say la'alla anta. We're going to say what? La'allaka. If it was anta. La'allaka. La'allaka. Naam. Naam. If it was أنتم, you're going to say what? لعلكم. The same pronouns that we used in book 1, right? Remember when we had the possessive pronouns? كتابه, كتابها, كتابكم, كتابكن, كتابهم. Huh? Same pronouns we're going to use. We're going to use them here, okay? So that's how we're going to do. We're going to change the pronoun هو. We're not going to say لعل هو. We're going to say لعل هو. هي. We're not going to say لعل هي. We're going to say لعل ها. Okay, like this. Okay, who takes the first one? I'll read the sentence and then you fix it for me. هو بخير. لعله بخير. Number two. اثنان. هم بخير. نعم. لعلهم بخير. Number three. ثلاثة. هي بخير. لعلها بخير. أربعة. هن بخير. لعلهن بخير. Notice that هم and هن remain the same, right? There's no change in them. Type number five. أنت بخير. لعلك بخير. ستة. أنتم بخير. لعلكم بخير. سبعة. أنت بخير. لعلك بخير. ثمانية. أنتن بخير. قال أبو بكر. لعلكن بخير. نعم. تسعة. أنا ناجح. لعلني. ما شاء الله. لعلني ناجح. Can we say it any other word besides that? لعلي. لعلي. لعلني. نعم. 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 أنا. نعم. عشرة. نحن ناجحون. لعلنا ناجحون. الحادي عشرة. المدير في غرفته. Don't change it to a pronoun. Do not change it to a pronoun. David as a clear noun, ظاهر. نعم. Okay, why did you change مدير to مديرة, feminine? No need, it's not supposed to change. Well, I don't know, you said مديري or مديرتي.
Oh, no, I didn't mean مديرة. I meant to say تي.
Okay. طيب, give it to us again from the beginning.
Okay.
المدير في غرفته.
Yeah. Okay. لعل.
Not ها. It's not feminine.
لعل.
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 مدير.
المديرة. لعل المديرة. في غرفته. نعم. لعل المدير مرفوع. لعل المدير مجرور. مديري مجرور. لعل look, لعل is from أخواته إن. That's the same like inna. It makes the mubtada what?
Mansoob.
And it makes the khabar what? Marfoon. So it has to be mansoob. La'alla al-mudira. What? Fi gurfatihi. Tayyib. Al-ikhtibaru sahlun. Don't change it to a damiya. Now. لعل الاختبار سهل. طيب, لعل is like إن. Okay, so it's not really much to it. It's just that, you know, we have to do some exercise for each point to make sure that it's clear. It works the same way as إن does. It makes the مبتدأ منصوب. But if the مبتدأ is a pronoun, we're not going to see the sign of it being منصوب فتة, right? Because pronouns are مبني and they remain the same. So لعله يعني, even though it's mansoob, we're going to say لعلهو, the dhamir is in the place where it should be mansoob, but we're not going to see a fatah. Okay, if it was following a preposition, if it was following a verb, the dhamir is not going to change its form. It's not going to change from fatah to kasr al-dhamma. The dhamirs remain the same, okay? So just keep that in mind, okay? It's in the place where it should be mansoob. When you say لعلهو, the dhamir هو is in the place where it should be mansoob. But we're not going to see a fatah because the dhamir doesn't change its form. طيب, yes.
I just want to understand why we say
غرفته. نعم. This? Yeah, the cover is marfoon. نعم. Okay. The cover is marfoon, right? So we said لعل المدير, لعل المديرة في غرفته. حرف جا. So غرفة takes كسرة. غرفتي. And therefore the who, the dhamir who, whenever it's following a kasra or kasra ya, then it changes from who to he. That's how we say, we don't say alayhum, we say alayhim. It's originally it's hum, but because it's kasra before it changed to kasra, to be munasib, just for the sound, okay? So originally that should be gurfatihu. But we don't say in Arabic gurfatihu. We say you have to change the who to he because it's preceded by kasra. That's why غرفتي takes kasra because it's following the preposition fi. And the who, the dhamir becomes he because it's preceded by kasra. It's not majrur, but it's just the way you read it. In pronunciation, they change it to kasra. Okay, they change who to he. They change whom to him. the special rule for this pronoun, who and whom. They change to he and him if preceded by kasra or ya.
Gorfatahu,
because originally who?
Right.
We only made it he because only in a special case is preceded by kasra, then we change it to he. Okay, it doesn't mean that it's majrur. It's not. It didn't become majrur because gorfati. Gorfati is majrur because of fi, but the who is not majrur. Well, it's in the place where it should be majrur, but we don't. It's not changed to kasra because of that. Okay, it doesn't change to kasra because of its position. Rather, change to kasra for the sound, for the reading. But in fact, it is. It's in the place where it's what should be majrur though, because it's gorfatuhu, right? That means it's mudaf mudaf ilay. It's mudaf mudaf ilay. But it's not kasra because of that. It's kasra because of sound, because of the mirrors don't change. Okay. Number 11. Iqra al-mithalaini. Read the two examples. Al-mithalaini. Thumma akmil al-jumala al-atiyata. Then complete the following sentences. Bi wad'i. By putting what? Ghalin aw ghaliyatun. Ghalin, that's marfu'an. And غاليةٌ is also مرفوعٌ. Huh? في أماكن الأماكن الخالية. In the empty spaces or empty places. You're going to put which word? غالٍ if it's masculine and غاليةٌ if it's feminine. Okay? Alright. The first example. هذا القلم غالٍ. أصله غالي. Huh? The word غالٍ أصله is غالي. هذا القلم غالٍ. هذا is the مبتدأ, right? And غالٍ is the خبر, right? Huh? Anybody have a different view of it? هذا is the مبتدأ. And غالٍ is the خبر. So what is القلم? بدل 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 القلم هذا القلم هذا is the مبتدا and القلم is بدل meaning it can be exchanged for هذا they can take each other's place you can do with either one of them you can do without the other one okay you can say هذا غالٍ or you can say القلم غالٍ so you can use either one of them نعم it's بدل whenever you have an اسم إشارة هذا هذه ذلك تلك any اسم إشارة And the noun that's following has alif lam, it's badal. That's badal, khalas. That's not like if you said, hadha qalamun, with tanween. That's a sentence. This is a pen. That's mubtada and khabar. But if you say, hadha al qalamu, that's not a sentence. That's just the mubtada and it's badal. Now you still need a khabar. And the khabar is ghalin. Is the sentence clear? Grammatically? Tayyib. Now, you have a question? That's it? Okay. طيب. Alright. So we're going to use one of these words. Okay, in the first example, هذا القلم غالٍ. أصله غاليٌ. That's how we know it's مرفون. But the ya and the dhamma of the ya that indicates it's مرفون is deleted, and what remains is the tanween that's traded to the kasra of غالي, غالٍ. Okay, the second example, هذه الساعة غاليةٌ. Okay, in the first example, هذا القلم is masculine. هذه الساعة is feminine. If it's masculine, you're going to use غالٍ. If it's feminine, you're going to use غاليةٌ. جيد? Okay, the first one, somebody just read the sentence. What it should be with one of those words placed in Abdul Karim. With all the vowels on every single word to the end of the sentence.
الكتب العربية
Okay, they changed the word. Okay, it's okay. Sorry. Same meaning, but they changed the word. You're reading from a different text. Okay, in our book it says, Al-Kutubu al-Arabiyyatu ghaliyatun fi baladina. Fi baladina. But it's different. Balad, Medina, it's close to meaning, right? Oh, you got Baladina? No. Yes, Akhi.
You said it should be
Ghaliyatun. No, because Kutub right? Kutub is the plural of kitab, right? And kitab is masculine, right? But the plural of inanimate things, we refer to them by what? Feminine singular. Feminine singular. So al-kutubu al-arabiyyatu ghaliyatun. Feminine, right? Kitab is masculine, but the plural of inanimate things, right? We use feminine singular. Ghaliyatun. Taib, next one. Who takes the second one? Naam. Abu Bakr. Okay, I didn't hear the last word. Wadaka? Ghalin. طيب هذا الكتاب رخيص وذاك غال. Huh? This book is what?
Cheap.
It's cheap.
It's inexpensive.
Oh, inexpensive. Now, and that one is what? Ghalin. Expensive. Okay. Now, Musa, number
three.
هذا المعجم بمئة ريال هو غال. نعم. Number four. What does that mean anyway? This dictionary? Yes. It costs 100 reals. It is expensive. نعم. أربعة. Who wants it? Yes. Abu Bakr over here. Read it one more time. نعم هذه الحقيبة غالية هذه الحقيبة غالية نعم Okay, exercise number 12 اقرأ المثالين read the two examples ثم اقرأ الجملة الآتية then read the following sentences read the examples then read the sentences the following sentences بعد ذلك اكتبها after that write them the sentences ما كتابة الأعداد الواردة فيها بالحروف ما كتابة writing الأعداد the numbers الواردة that have been put here فيها put in this place بالحروف okay so what do you do what read the examples two examples then read the following sentences and after reading them I want you to write those sentences but changing the numerals to words changing the numbers to words بالحروف write them out in words okay So you have, for example, مِيَةُ رَجُلٍ Remembering that what? The عدد and معدود are in إضافة. مِيَةُ is مُضاف, رَجُلٍ is مُضافٌ إِلَيْهِ And the معدود for مِيَة and ألف is always مُفْرَد, singular, مَجْرُور. مِيَةُ إِمْرَأَةٍ مُضاف, مُضاف إِلَيْهِ The عدد and the معدود is مُضاف, مُضاف إِلَيْهِ And notice that mia, when it's used with a ma'adud that's masculine, or when it's used with a ma'adud that's feminine, rajulun or imra'atun, mia also remains the same. It doesn't change. And likewise with alf, we have alfu rajulin with a masculine ma'adud, and alfu imra'atin with a feminine ma'adud, and alf remains the same. It doesn't change. Alf and mia doesn't change. Even if the ma'adud is masculine, or feminine. Doesn't make any difference. Okay, so we got numbers here, numerals. We have a sentence written with numerals. We want you to change that numeral to a word. Alright, change the numbers, write them, give them in words. Okay, who wants the first one? Naam, Abu Bakr, over here. Read it again. I just want to hear you a little more clearly because you know my hearing is poor. Go ahead. Let me hear it again. بألفٍ ريالٍ؟ That's what I thought I heard you say. Is it بألفٍ ريالٍ؟ بألفي في with a single vowel بألفي ريالٍ. Okay, I thought you said بألفٍ. Okay, that's why I actually repeat it because you know I can't hear good. بألفي ريالٍ. Okay, why does it have to be a single vowel ألفي ريالٍ؟ B Alfi Rialin. Okay, he said because of B. Because of B it has to be what? It has to be Majroor. But why does it have a single Kesra and not a double Kesra? Why is it B Alfi and not B Alfin?
Because it's the
Because mudaf, and the mudaf never takes alif lam or tanween. So it can't take a double vowel. Bi alfi rialin. Okay, who wants the next one? Second one. Yeah, Musa, go ahead.
عندي ألف دولار.
نعم عندي ألف دولار مضاف مضاف إليه ألف. In the previous one, بي ألفي ريال. In this one, ألف. Why is it changed to ضم here, the ألف? Why is it taking ضم and not كسر like the last one? Okay, it doesn't have a harf jar in front of it. Okay, that's true. So is that the only reason? Anything that doesn't have harf jar in front of it, khalas, it has to take dhamma?
It
can't take fatah?
It's also mudaf, though.
It's mudaf? Okay, so the mudaf, does it always have to take dhamma, the mudaf?
No.
Mudaf can take dhamma, kasra, fatah. So why is it not a fatah there? Why is it not ndi alfa dularin, huh? It's a maf'ulun bi. Where's the fi'la? The maf'ulun bi is the object and the verb. Where's the verb in this sentence? Indi alfu dolarin. Where's the verb? Okay, help me somebody. Help me somebody. Listen. Listen carefully. Pay attention, right? This is a question. Really, I'm asking this question. I want you to think about the grammar. We're trying to learn grammar. You got to think to learn grammar. Grammar is, mashallah, is very beautiful, but you have to work with it. You have to put in some time with it, okay? Indi alfu dolarin. He read it correct. But I want somebody to explain to me, why is it alfu and not alfa? He said it's not alfi because it doesn't have a harf jar. So why is it not alfa then?
Because it doesn't have like, inna la'alla.
It doesn't have inna or la'alla?
So.
Okay, the answer to this question is, where's the mubtada in the sentence and where's the khabar? Where's the mubtada and where's the khabar? Indi is the mubtada and where's the khabar? Dula, so what's alf? Bedal? No, bedal is when you have an ism ishara. There's no ism ishara here. Okay, look, take it easy, right? You're on the right track, but that's not correct. The answer to this question is, alf, why is it alfu and not alfa or alfi? Okay, the answer to the question, he hinted at it here. And I hinted at it when I asked you the question. Where's the mubtada and where's the khabar? The first thing that you have to know in your, if you want to understand why a word has fatah or kasra or dhamma, you have to understand what is its grammatical function in the sentence. Is it mubtada? Is it khabar? Is it the fa'il? Is it the object of the verb? Is it the object of the preposition? What is it? Okay, so I gave you the answer when I said to you, where's the mubtada and where's the khabar? The reason why it has dhamma is because it's either the mubtada or the khabar. That's why it has dhamma. Because the mubtada and the khabar are both marfu'un with dhamma. But now I want to know, is it the mubtada or is it the khabar? That's why I asked, where's the mubtada and where's the khabar? Which one of these? He said, Indi is the mubtada. Who agrees with him? Let me see your hands from the brothers. He said, Indi is the mubtada. Only three people agree with you. The rest of them, they don't agree with you. It's okay. It's all right. You don't have to agree on everything with people, right? Especially if you don't bring no evidence from Quran and Sunnah, we don't have to agree with it, right? You got to bring evidence. Okay? Now, the people who don't agree with him, where do you say, what is the mubtada and the khabar? The people who don't agree with that explanation. And by the way, the people who don't agree, you're probably correct. Because that explanation is not correct. So give me some other explanation. No, Indi is not the mubtada. Okay. If you had previewed the next lesson that I asked you to do for homework in the email, you would have known the answer to this question. Okay, the answer to this question is, whenever the mubtada is nakira, it's not definite, and the khabar is a shibah jumla, jaa wal majrur wa dharf, then the order of the mubtada and khabar is reversed. So indi here is coming first, not because the mubtada, it's becoming first because it's a shibah jumla, and the mubtada, alf, is nakira, it's not definite. When the mubtada is not definite and the khabar is shibah jumla, then they can't come first. The khabar has to come first. Okay, the reason why I asked this question, because I asked you in your homework to go and preview the next lesson. That's why I asked this question. Okay, we're going to do it in the next lesson. We're going to do it in the next lesson, right? This is a question that's not really for this lesson, but I asked you just to wake you up a little bit, okay? Because I know it's kind of late right now, we're getting kind of tired, so I want to wake you up a little bit. I have to make you think, so when you start thinking, your eyes open up, Your brain starts getting activated and stuff like that, okay? The mubtada always comes first, right?
No.
Generally in a sentence.
Okay.
But that's if it is definite. If it's definite.
All right.
But if it's indefinite, and the khabar is a shibba jumla. What is a shibba jumla? A shibba jumla means that the khabar is not a single word, but it's some type of phrase. There are two types of phrase it could be. It could either be a harf jar and the majroor, jar wal majroor, like fi al bayti. Or it could be a dharf showing place, tahta al maktabi, or amam al bayti. Okay? If you have a dharf, or if you have a harf jar with a ism majroor with it, that's called a shibba jumla. When the khabar is a shibba jumla, and the mubtada is nakira, it's not definite, it's indefinite, then the order of the mubtada and khabar is reversed. The shibba jumla is going to come first, and the mubtada is going to come second, after it. So in this sentence, in reality, endi is the khabar, and alf is the mubtada, and dula is mudaf ilay. طيب, no problem, it's alright. Hopefully, if you don't get it, inshallah, next lesson, we're going to go over this point, okay? That's the one of the main points in the next lesson, is Laysa and this point right here, that we just discussed right now. What is a shibba jumla? It's either a harf jar and majroor, ism majroor, or dharf. Dharf means showing place or time when something is happening. Under the table, in front of the house, behind the building, so on, above, right, left, like that, showing place. Alright? So here we're showing place, right? Where is it at? Where is the Alf Dula? It's with me. Where is it at? It's with me. Andi. Andi. Anda and Ya. Ya is the pronoun for first person, Anna, right? Naam. Anda, Anna, Andi. So really the origin of the sentence is Alf Dularin, Andi. But because Alf Dula, Alf is Nakira, it's not definite, and the Khabar, Andi, is a shibba jumla, so the order is reversed. Okay, this is a little bit, yani.
Indi is the khabar.
Indi is the khabar, now. Alf is the mubtada. Dula is mudawfu ilayhin. Indi is the khabar. Yani the origin of this sentence, you say, Alf dularin, alfu dularin, indi. But because alf is nakira, why? How do we know alf is nakira? Because dularin is nakira. And whatever word is mudawf, mudawf ilay, the mudawf is definite or indefinite based on what? The mudawf ilay. The mudawf ilay is indefinite, then the mudawf is indefinite. If it's definite, then it's definite. Okay, because the mudawf never takes alif, lam, or tanween. So how do we know if it's definite or not? We look at the mudawf ilay. If the mudawf ilay is indefinite, it makes the mudawf indefinite. If it's definite, it makes it definite. And we learned that way back in lesson number, I don't know, book number 1, 6, or 7 or something like that. But now we forgot it. It's alright. We're going to remember, inshallah, some of this. Okay, number 3. We have to finish this lesson before they call the adhan for Maghrib. Number 3. Who will read it? Don't be afraid after that. Courageous man over here. Now. Mi'atu. Safha. Mudawfan ilay. It has to be majroor with kasra. Safhatin. Naam. Fi hadha al-kitabi mi'atu safhatin. Mi'atu safhatin. And the same rule applies here. Mi'atu safhatin. That's mudawf, mudawf ilay, right? Mi'atu safhatin, right? Mi'atu is nakira. Why? Because safhatin is nakira. It's indefinite. So mi'atu is indefinite. And mi'atu actually is the mubtada of this sentence. And the khabar is a shibba jumla. It's jar wa majroor. Fi hadha al-kitab. The origin of this sentence is mi'atu safhatin fi hadha al-kitab. But because mi'atu is not definite, and the khabar fi hadha al-kitab, the khabar is the shibba jumla, jar wa majroor. So that's why the order is reversed. Instead of saying mi'atu safhatin fi hadha al-kitab, we say fi hadha al-kitab mi'atu safhatin. Same rule that we just talked about in the previous sentence. Okay, number four. Somebody take it. Number four. Now they're really getting scared. The sisters are not scared, but they can't talk to us, so they're excused. Become هذه الحقيبة.
هي بمئة ريال.
Become هذه الحقيبة. What does that mean? How much is this suitcase, bag, briefcase, whatever? How much is it? هي بمئة ريال. بمئة ريال. Type number five. Number five. كليتي. في هذه الكلية. مئة طالب. من باكستان ومئة طالب من إندونيسيا في هذه الكلية مئة طالب ومئة because it's the مبتدأ من باكستان ومئة طالب مضاف مضاف إليه مئة طالب من إندونيسيا. Alright, in any case, me and Alf, the most important thing of this exercise, even though we got some extra grammatical points from it, the most important thing is what? How you use these two numbers, me and Alf. Okay, just like the numbers from 3 to 10, it's مضاف مضاف إليه, the عدد and the معدود. But unlike 3 to 10, the معدود is not plural. It's singular مجرور. Singular مجرور. From 3 to 10, the معدود is plural مجرور. But here with me and Alf, is singular مجرور. طيب, number 13, this is the last exercise. قوّن جملاً مستعملاً الكلمات الآتية. قوّن, what does that mean? قوّن. Okay, create, compose. Compose جملاً, sentences, مستعملاً, using الكلمات الآتية, the following words. Okay, we got some words here. Just make a sentence with them. Anybody give me a sentence for ذكيٌ. ذكيٌ. نعم.
هو رجل
ذكي. هو رجل ذكي. طيب, مئة. Somebody give me a sentence for مئة. مئة ريال. 100 ريال. What about the 100 ريال? Say, I'm giving away 100 riyals.
Giving away?
Yeah, say, I am, you say, I am giving away 100 riyals. You gotta say something about the 100 riyals. I have 100 riyals, I'm giving away 100 riyals, something. Huh? What was the first word? Indy? Uridu?
Uridu mia tun
yale. Okay, uridu mia ti tau tu. Uridu is a fail, right? The object of the verb has to be what? Mansub. Uridu mia ta. Rialin. Tayyib, we'll try to help you, inshallah. Take a collection after the class. طيب, متزوج. نعم. أنا لست. We don't want to use last to here, but that's for the next lesson. أنا لست بمتزوج. طيب, somebody give us another sentence for متزوج. نعم, over here. أمتزوج أنت؟ نعم, أنا متزوج منذ 40 سنة. الحمد لله. عزب. عزب. Somebody give me a sentence. Here's the one you should have taken. أنا عزب. نعم. طيب, هو عزب. نعم. خلق. خلق. نعم, sentence.
أنا رجل خلق.
You got to use ذو with that if you want to do it like that. هو رجل ذو خلق. نعم دولار دولار. هذا الكتاب بكم دولار؟ بعشرة دولار دولار رن ورن ورن دولار رن. Okay, last one. غالن غالن. Give me a sense for غالن. نعم. هذه السيارة غالية. But we want to use غالن. هذا الكتاب غالن. Somebody give me another sense for غالن. Another one. هذا القلم غالن. Give me another one. القميص غالن. Some another one. Can make 100 sentences with this word. Almost everything in New York is غالن, right? كلكم. That's the beginning of the sentence. Oh, a سيارة. But سيارة is feminine, right? And غالن is masculine. حجرة. الحجرة. But حجرة is also feminine. We need a masculine word for غالن. غالن is masculine. Last one. Give me another one. Something, you know, that's real. Real life. Huh? The قلم? That قلم is غالن? I got one like that. I didn't think mine was غالن. I got one just like that. Mine wasn't غالن. Mine was رخيصن. القهوة is masculine or feminine? كرم أبوتا. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Okay, in any case, these words, alhamdulillah, we had them before. We went over the vocabulary before, so we're going to go past that. And we'll say that we have completed lesson number 2. But we have really only completed it if we have a grasp the meanings of what it contains. I mean, lesson number 1. What the meanings that it contained, okay? Meaning, the meaning of the vocabulary words, the workings of the grammatical rules, comprehension of what we're reading. When we're reading, we should not just be reading to read properly, but we should understand the grammatical rules, know the meaning of the vocabulary words, so that we comprehend what we're reading. That's very important. Okay, that's very important. When you open up the Quran and you read it, you want to comprehend what you are reading. When you read a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, you want to comprehend what you're reading. Huh? You want to comprehend. So it's important to learn the vocabulary words and understand the grammatical points and then to comprehend. Okay, lesson number 2. Lesson number 2 deals with 2 main matters. Actually, there are 4 points in this lesson, but 2 of them are very important. Okay? One of the points in this lesson is this statement, which would not take us any time to cover. Okay? Man al-akh. Man al-akh. Huh? Men. What does men mean? Men means who, right? Taib. Shall we say men al akh? What shall we say? Menil. Okay, where does this kasra come from? Because this is men has 10 ween. Where do we get kasra from? Whenever men, the word men, or the word min. Min. Both of these words have sukoon. Whenever they follow by alif lam, this min becomes sukoon, becomes fatta. And this men, the sukoon becomes kasra. So here, this is where we got kasra from, right? Because in order to join it to the alif lam, which has hamzatul wasl, we need a vowel here. So we say menil akhu. Menil akhu. What does it mean? Who is the brother? Who is the brother? That's a polite way of saying what? You meet a stranger and you don't want to be rude. Who are you? Yeah, right? Like that, right? So it's polite. You're speaking to the person. You don't say to, who are you? Right? He says, oh, I'm in the wrong place. These people are rough over here. Huh? You run people out of here with that. By a polite way, in Arabic, say, men al-akh. That's very polite. Men al-akh. That's like you're saying to them, you know, respectfully, who are you? You know, but in a nice way. Not like you to interrogating somebody, huh? Those people. It's polite way of speaking. MashaAllah. Min al-akh. So that doesn't require much, right? The other point in this lesson that's not so important, I mean, it's not difficult to understand, is this expression, Bilalun. Bilalun, right? Ibn Hamidin. Okay? Bilalun Ibn Hamidin. Ibn Hamidin is what? Mudaf mudaf ilay, right? Bilalun is followed by Ibn Hamidin. Ibn Hamidin is a not. It's what? Not. Describing Bilal. It's a not describing Bilal. It's not a khabar. It's not like somebody said, who is Bilal? Oh, Bilal is the son of who? And you said, Bilal is the son of Hamid. That's a mubtada and a khabar. Bilal is the son of Hamid. No, it's not that. And here, this is a not describing Bilal. Bilal the son of Hamid. Okay? That's not a sentence. That's Bilal the son of Hamid. What about him? Something, whatever, such and such and so and so. Okay? Whenever you have the word Ibn, in between two proper nouns, one of them is Bilal, and the other one is Hamid. And it's a not describing the first of them. In that case, the Hamza to Wasl is not written. And the Tanween of the first name, proper noun, is also deleted, the tanween. So you have a single vowel here, Bilalub. Bilal, because this what? Bilalu. Lu to ba. Lubnu. Hamidin. Okay, what's happening here is that when you have two proper nouns with Ibn in between, two proper nouns, and the second one is a description, a not describing the first one, then this Hamza til wasl is not written, this alif, and likewise the tanween is deleted for easy pronunciation. So you say Bilal ibn Hamidin. Naam, Isa ibn Maryam. Fayyib. Alright? Two proper nouns. And this Ibn here is being used as a not to describe, it's in the notes. We're just introducing it, right? I'm just trying to give you an idea of what we're talking about in this lesson. It's in the notes, inshallah. Okay, the second one is describing, it's a not for the first one. Okay? Meaning this is Bilal. Which Bilal? Describe him. The son of Bilal, that is the son of Hamid. Okay, so his name is what? Bilal Ibn Hamid. Like the brother said, Isa Ibn Maryam. Well, Isa is a proper noun, and Maryam is a proper noun. Huh? No, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm just saying, if it has tanween, the tanween is deleted. Okay? So that's two. That's the second point. The other two points in this lesson are very important. One of them is Laysa. Okay? The other point in this lesson is Laysa. This is a verb, laysa. That means what? Not. It is not. Something is not. It is not this, it is not that, or whatever. And the fourth point is what? That we need to focus on of importance is when you have a jumla ismiya and the khabar is not definite. It's
indefinite. It's nakira. When the mubtada, the mubtada is nakira. It's not definite. And the khabar is a shibah jumla. The order is going to be reversed. The mubtada is going to be delayed. It's called mubtada muakhara. Muakhar. And the khabar is going to be advanced. Instead of coming second, it's going to come first. It's called khabar muqaddam. Okay, that's when you have what? When you have a mubtada that's not definite, and the khabar is a shibah jumla. The shibah jumla could be two things. One of two things, harf jar and majroor, or it could be a dharf, indicating place or time. Okay, those are the four things in this lesson. Now what we want to deal with mostly in this lesson, most of the exercises, almost all of them, are dealing with laysa. There's only one exercise dealing with the last point that I just mentioned. There's only one exercise dealing with that, with inna. Because inna, remember, the ism inna is mansub, right? So when the order is reversed in the sentence, don't make the first word mansub. Because the first word that's supposed to be mansub, the mubtada is going to come second. So when you see inna, you're normally going to say, for example, inna al-kitaba. But kitab is going to come, if it's nakira, kitab is going to come second. So the word that's going to be mansub is not going to be the first word that comes after inna. It's going to be the second word because the mubtada is out of place. That's what we're going to come to. That's only one exercise dealing with that. But the main thing that we're dealing with this lesson is laysa. Two things you need to do with laysa. First, you need to know how it works. Laysa, it works the opposite of inna. Works the opposite of inna. Okay? If you have a sentence like this sentence here, al-kitab, you have a sentence like this, right? You have what? Al-kitab. Al-kitabu. Al-kitabu. Kabirun, right? Al-kitabu kabirun. That means what? The book is big. What if you were to say the book is not big? We use what? Laysa. Laysa al-kitabu kabirun. But with laysa, unlike inna, laysa, we said that the mubtada, right? And the khabar are both marfu'un, right? Dhamma, dhamma. But with inna, inna makes the mubtada change to what? Change to fatha. And it remains the khabar as it is, right? Laysa does the opposite. It leaves the mubtada marfu'un and changes the khabar to mansubun. Does the opposite of inna. Inna wa akhawatuha, inna wa anna wa la'alla wa lakinna, all of them, they do the same thing like inna. They make the first, the mubtada, they make it mansub. And they leave the khabar as marfu'un. But laysa and the akhawatu laysa do the opposite. They leave the mubtada as marfu'un and change the khabar to mansub. But the people of Hijaz, the people of Mecca, the people of the Prophet ﷺ, his tribe, they, when they used laysa, they did something different with it. They used bi on the khabar, which makes what? Instead of being mansub, it's going to be what? Majroor. And this lesson, that's the way we're going to use it. The original ruling is that laysa makes the khabar mansub. But in the language of Hijaz people, they use bi. So that harf jar changes the khabar to what? Majroor. Although it's in the place where it should be mansub, but in speech, the way we're going to write it and speak it, it's going to be majroor because of B. Alright? And that's how we're going to use it in this lesson. But it can be used both ways. If you use it with B, it's going to be majroor. If you don't use it with B, it's going to be mansub. Okay? In this lesson, it's going to be majroor all the time. We're going to use it with B. But you need to know that the original rule for laysa is that it makes the khabar mansub. So that's all you need to know. That here, when you use laysa, means not is, right? The book is not big, right? ليس الكتاب بكبير. It is not big. You need to know what happens with the مبتدأ and what happens with the خبر. Okay? Now this مبتدأ becomes what? اسم ليس. And this becomes خبر ليس. Right? And the اسم ليس is مرفوع. And the خبر ليس is منصوب unless you have حرف جر باء becomes مجرور. That's all we need to know. What does ليس mean? Negation. Is not. How does it function grammatically? It makes the اسم ليس مرفوع and خبر ليس منصوب or with باء مجرور. Now, the second thing you need to know in this lesson is the conjugation of the verb ليس. Okay, before when we had conjugation in book one, right? We said, for example, you say جلس. هو جلس. هي جلست. Same thing. هو ليس. هي ليست. Huh? أنت جلست. With ليس you say what? لست. أنت جلست. With ليس you say what? لست. أنت جلست. أنتم جلستم. So you say what? لستم. لستن. Like this. Okay, the same way you conjugate other verbs is similar. Okay, the endings, the pronouns on the ends of the verbs are going to be the same like we did with other verbs. Okay, but you need to learn the conjugation of ليس. Okay, because it is an irregular verb. It has some irregularity to it. So you have to pay attention to that. When you use it in sentences, depending on the ism ليس, if it's a ism ظاهر like this, it's easy. But when it's a pronoun, then you have to know that the pronoun on the verb, like lestu, the tu represents what? Ana. So if you say lestu بمدرسٍ, huh? If you say what? Lestu, huh? بمدرسٍ, right? The ism inna, I mean the ism laysa, is the pronoun of the verb, and the khabaru laysa is the word that comes after it. So the meaning of this is Anna, but you don't have to say Anna because it's understood from two. Just like you say Jalastu Hunaka. If you say to somebody Jalastu Hunaka, it means what? I sat over there. You don't have to say Anna Jalastu. When you say Jalastu, they automatically know you're talking about yourself, right? You say Jalasta, you don't have to say Anta Jalasta. You know that Jalasta means Anta. So the same thing here. Lastu, it represents Anna. You can say Anna lastu bimudarrisin. Or you can just say lastu bimudarrisin. But the point is, here, in this, with if you don't use Anna, then this laysa, right, is the verb. The ism laysa is the pronoun tu. And the khabar is this jawal majroor, bimudarrisin. Okay? So if you say lastu bimudarrisin, the ism laysa is tu. And the ism laysa is marfoon. So this tu right here is in the place where it will be marfoon. But of course the pronouns don't change. Lastu is going to be lastu, no matter what kind of way you want to use it. It's always going to remain the same. It's going to be tu. If you're talking about, you're talking to a male, you say enta, you say lasta. You're talking to your wife or your sister, your daughter, you say, lasti. Okay? It's in the place where it should be marfoon, because it's the ism laysa, and ism laysa is marfoon. And the khabaru laysa is mansoob. But in this lesson, we're going to be using it with ba, so it's going to be what? The harf jar, and the noun that's connected to it is going to be the khabar of laysa, and it's going to be majroor. It's in the place where it should be mansoob. The whole expression is in the place where it should be mansoob. What we're going to say is harf jar and majroor. Taib, that's the grammatical explanation of laysa. How it comes when there's a clear noun with it, or when it comes with a pronoun connected to the verb, connected pronoun. Al-damair al-muttasila. We studied those back in book one. Al-damair al-muttasila. The connected pronouns. Huh? Taib. And that's it, basically. That's what's in this lesson. Okay? The main thing, laysa. How do you conjugate it? That's easy. We had it before. How does it work grammatically? It's simple. It's the opposite of inna. That's it. Laysa is the opposite of inna. Okay, with inna, it's what? Inna Allaha ghafoor raheem. Okay, so the mubtada and khabar becomes mansoob marfu'un. With laysa, it's the opposite. It's marfu'un mansoobun. Any question? He said he has a lot of questions. Tayyip, let's read a minute. We have a few minutes before the adhan. Let's read a minute, inshallah. And just so that in case I forget, your homework is to start doing the exercises. There's 8 exercises for this lesson. 5 of them are related to laysa. 2 of them, the first 2 are related to comprehension of the text, the dialogue in the beginning. Just comprehension questions. Okay, just to make sure you understood what you read. The next 5 exercises are all related to laysa. Exercises using laysa in different ways. And the last exercise is dealing with inna when the mubtada and khabar are reversed in their position. Okay, so all of that you should be able to do. There shouldn't be anything in those exercises you don't know how to do because we already talked about it. And it's all explained here in the key. I'm going to read it just to you quickly. Inshallah, if you have any questions while I'm reading, just stop me. Okay, in this lesson we learn the following. Number 1, laysa. We're in the key, the English key on page 6 in the back of the book, right? Lesson number 2, wa alaykum salam. In this lesson we learn the following. Number 1, laysa. It means is not. Meaning it negates something. Whatever you were stating in a statement, the book is big, the man is tall, you're negating it. You're saying the man is not tall, the book is not big. It is used in a nominal sentence. Not in a verbal sentence, not in a jumla fi'liya, in a jumla ismiya. For example, al-baytu jadidun. The house is new. You want to negate it? Laysa al-baytu bijadidin. Laysa al-baytu marfu'un. Laysa al-baytu bijadidin. The house is not new. Note that b is added to the khabar. And it is therefore, the khabar becomes what? Majroor. You see number 1 there? There's a note on the bottom. It said we can also say laysa al-baytu jadidan mansoob. Here the khabar has no b and it is mansoob. You will learn this later, inshallah. You already learned it, alhamdulillah.
Is there an error in one does not say laysa bi laysu?
That's on the bottom of the page. We didn't get to that yet. That's a mistake. That's a mistake in the book. The B is deleted. They made a mistake when they printed it. We get to the bottom of the page, inshallah. Okay, he's saying at the bottom of the page, just before the note, if the khabaru laysa is a prepositional clause, like min al hind, it does not take B. So one does not say last two should be last two B min al hind, but they left out the B. That's a big mistake. But it's a little mistake. It's just one letter, right? Ba with kasra. But a big mistake because it messed up the whole meaning of the whole grammatical point. Tayyib. Okay, so what are we saying here, right? After the introduction of laysa, the mubtada is now called ismu laysa. Same way we say ismu inna, right? And the khabar is now called khabaru laysa. The feminine of laysa is laysat. Like jalasa, jalasat. Dakhala, dakhalat. Laysa, laysat. That ta indicates femininity. It's a sign of femininity. For example, Zainabu maridatun. With laysa, laysat. Don't say laysa, say laysat. Zainabu bimaridatun. Why? Because Zainab is feminine. Okay, same thing. About a person, about a thing, the same thing. As-sayyaratu is feminine, right? Qadimatun. Laysat as-sayyaratu bi-qadimatin. But here, note that laysat, though it normally has sukoon, but if the sukoon is followed by alif lam, remember we had that rule before, when sukoon is followed by alif lam, you have to put a vowel on it to connect to the alif lam because it's beginning with no vowel, hamzatul wasl. So you say, laysat. Naam, laysat as-sayyara. Naam. Laysat as-sayyara tu bi qadimatin. The car is not old.
Note that in the second example, the sukun of layset has changed to kasr because of the following alif lam. So layset al-bintu becomes laysatil bintu. Layset al-bintu becomes laysatil bintu. See key to book 1, lesson 12. And that's in reference to what? The word that ends with a sukun. And it's followed by alif lam. Then you have to vowelize it in order to connect it to through Hamzatul Wasl. The forms of laysa with other pronouns are mentioned in exercise 3 of the main book. Meaning, laysa, laysat, lastum, lastunna, and so on like that. They are mentioned in what? Exercise 3 of the main book, meaning the Arabic text of the book, in the lesson. In lastu bimuhandisin, the pronoun tu in lastu is the ismu laysa. Lastu, the pronoun tu, and likewise lasti, the pronoun ti, or lasta, the pronoun ta, is the ism laysa. And bimuhandisin is the khabaru laysa. We can also say, instead of just saying lastu bimuhandisin, you can say ana lastu bimuhandisin. Here, in this case, if we say ana lastu bimuhandisin, ana is the mubtada. Huh? Ana now becomes the mubtada. And the sentence, lastu bimuhandisin, that whole rest of the sentence is the khabar. The whole rest of the sentence is the khabar. This sentence is made up of ismu laysa and khabaru laysa, as we have seen earlier. Yani, ana lastu bimuhandisin. Ana is the mubtada, and the rest of the sentence, the verbal sentence, the jumla fi'liya, lastu bimuhandisin, all of that is the khabar. A khabar that consists of, and in other words, the khabar can be a single word, mufrad. It could be a shibah jumla, or it could be a jumla ismiya, or a jumla fi'liya. In this case, it's a jumla fi'liya. The khabar is a jumla fi'liya because it begins with a fi'l. Lastu bimuhandisin. That's a whole sentence. Begins with a fi'l, so it's a jumla fi'liya. And the khabar can be a jumla fi'liya, or it could be a jumla ismiya, or it could be a shibah jumla, like min al bayt, or it could be a single word, one word, like ana talibun. That's a single word, that's the khabar. Ana min al-hindi. That's a shibah jumla. Or it could be like this one here. Lastu bi muhandisin. That's a jumla fi'liya. It could also be a jumla ismiya. It's more emphasis. If you say ana lastu. Naam, it's more emphasis. Naam. But here he's just saying what? How the composition of the sentence, grammatically, how it is broken down if you change it and you use the pronoun ana instead of just sufficing with lastu. Okay, note the following. Lastu bi muhandisin. Ana mudarrisun. Ana mudarrisun. If you put laysa with it, you say lastu bi mudarrisin. Ana min al hindi. Lastu min al hindi. Note, if the khabar laysa is a prepositional clause, like min al hindi, it does not take bi. Like we're using the ba here with this laysa. If the khabar is a prepositional clause, yani a preposition, a harf jar with majroor, then we're not going to use ba with it. We're not going to say lastu bi min al hind. No need for the bi. Just lastu min al hind. Okay, the bi is left out on this sentence. Correct it in your book. If it's not there, it should be lastu bi min al hind. That is incorrect to say lastu bi min al hind. It should be, what should be written here? They're trying to show you what not to say. This is a mistake, okay? But they left out the ba, so it's not a mistake. It's correct now. But we want to write the way it's supposed to be wrong. We want to make it the wrong way. It should be lastu bi min al hind. They're saying don't say that, okay? Naam. Taib, next page, page number 7. We have seen in book 1 that if the mubtada is indefinite, this is the point that we explained earlier when we were doing exercises from the previous lesson, right? I said in this lesson we're going to come to this when the mubtada and the khabar change positions. Mubtada is supposed to be first, it's come second. The khabar is supposed to be second, it's going to come first. We have seen in book 1 that if the mubtada is indefinite, and it will be indefinite, why? Either because it doesn't have alif lam, or what other reason it will be indefinite? Or it's not a proper noun, Proper nouns are definite, right? Or it's not an idafa to something that's definite. Any one of those ways, the word could be definite, right? If it's not definite due to any of those means, it's indefinite. And addition to that, second point, that the khabar is a prepositional phrase. In that case, the mubtada comes after the khabar, not ahead of it, the way it normally comes. For example, you say, li ikhwatun, I have brothers. Originally this sentence, I'm saying this now, originally this sentence should be, ikhwatun li. But because ikhwatun, the mubtada, is nakira, it's not definite, and the khabar li is a prepositional phrase. It's the harf jar li and ana, ya. The ya that represents ana. Because the khabar is a prepositional phrase, and the mubtada is nakira, it's not definite, so the order is reversed. So instead of saying ikhwatun li, we say now li ikhwatun. But li is not the mubtada, li is the khabar that has been advanced ahead of its place. And ikhwatun is the mubtada that has been delayed out of its place. Now, where? Here in the sentence? Anna is there. Anna is here, where you have, I have, right? Li, Anna. For me, right? But you don't say Li, Anna. You say what?
Li.
Li, yeah, represents Anna, right? So the Anna is there. But it's in the form of a preposition, in the form of a pronoun, right? That's connected to a preposition. You don't say Li, Anna. You say Li. That means li ana, for me. I have ikhwatun. Fayyib? Now, with laysa, this sentence becomes, yani the sentence li ikhwatun, which is the khabar advanced, and ikhwatun is the mubtada delayed out of its place. Li ikhwatun becomes laysa li ikhwatun. I have no brothers. Here, ikhwatun is ism laysa, ikhwatun, even though it came second, but it's really the ism ikhwa, because originally it's the mubtada, but it's just delayed. So notice, pay attention, that sometime the ism inna or ism laysa is not going to come immediately behind laysa or inna. Sometime if the mubtada and khabar are out of place, it's going to come second. So you got to pay attention which one you're going to make marfu and which one you're going to make mansubun. So what he's saying here, I have no brothers. Here, ikhwatun is the ism laysa. And it's marfu'un, because the ism laysa is marfu'un. Even though the ism laysa in this place, the mubtada is delayed out of its place. But it's still the mubtada. And it's still the ism laysa in this case. And therefore it's marfu'un. That's why it's laysa li ikhwatun. Here, ikhwatun is ism laysa, and li is khabaru laysa. Is there any question about that? Li ikhwatun. The original meaning of it is ikhwatun li. But we changed the order, so ikhwatun came second, but really it is the mubtada. And the mubtada becomes ism laysa. And the ism laysa is marfu'un. Okay, it's not the khabru laysa, and therefore it would be mansub. It's not the khabru laysa, it's really it's the ism laysa, because it's originally the mubtada that has been delayed out of its place. So pay attention to this point. It's a very important point. It's simple once you got it, but you have to pay attention, because every time you see that word come first, you're going to think that's the mubtada. So that's the ism laysa. And it's not in this case where the mubtada and khabar are reversed in their order. Now,
do you like write down some rules in reference to this?
What kind of rules? I think it's here. It's written here. I think it's written here. What do we have to remember? It's simple as this. As we on the top of the page it says, we have seen in book 1 that if the mubtada is indefinite, that's the first rule. If the mubtada is indefinite. And secondly, if the khabar is a prepositional phrase. That's the rule. Whenever the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a prepositional phrase. Now you got to know what is a prepositional phrase. Prepositional phrase is either harf jar and majroor, like ilal bayt, or min as-suq, or it's a
ظرف showing place أمام المسجد ها خلف المدرسة showing place it's in front of or behind it's either the prepositional phrase that they're talking about here is really called shibah jumla means it's like a sentence but it's not a complete sentence it's a couple of words together a phrase that are not a complete sentence but it's not a single word either okay it's a harf jar and the majroor or it's a dharf in either one of those cases that's a shibah jumla so that's the second condition if the mubtada is indefinite nakira and the khabar is a prepositional phrase a shibah jumla in that case with those two conditions both of them have to be present then the mubtada comes after the khabar that's the rule right there if this and this are both present the mubtada will not take its place first rather it will be delayed and come second and the khabar will get ahead of it and this is an example li ikhwatun because li is the khabar it's a prepositional phrase it's a preposition with a pronoun okay and ikhwatun is the mubtada but the mubtada here is nakira it's not definite so these are the two conditions that you need when that happens you reverse the order the mubtada comes second the khabar gets in the front first that's the rule so when you use laysa and when you use inna you got to pay attention to this especially with inna why because with inna the ism inna is going to be mansub but it's not going to be the first word that comes after the inna because the order is going to be reversed right so your normal rule is that when you see a word coming after inna you're going to make it mansub because the ism inna is mansub but what we are saying here is pay attention sometimes the first word that comes after laysa or the first word that comes after inna may not be the ism inna or ism laysa why because the mubtada which normally is supposed to come right after it because it's first right it may be delayed and come second so whatever you're supposed to do with the ism inna or ism laysa you got to pay attention that it might not be on the word that's immediately following it may be in the next word that's coming after it because the khabar came first and the mubtada came second that's the point that's it okay so that's what they're saying here in this last point number 2 if inna is added to a sentence the same sentence li ikhwatun it becomes inna li ikhwa 10 because ikhwa is the ism inna right even though it's coming second and the ism inna is mansub so if inna is added to a sentence like li ikhwatun it becomes inna li ikhwatan here ikhwatan is mansub because it's the ism inna it's the mubtada became the ism inna and li is the khabaru inna so this sentence li ikhwatun it's originally ikhwatun li right this is the mubtada and this is the khabar so if you put inna on here it will be what inna ikhwatan li that's clear right but when the order is reversed okay it looks different but still this is the mubtada or the ism inna so inna ikhwatan inna li ikhwatan okay here it's easy to know that inna ikhwatan li that's easy but you can't say that because ikhwatun because it's nakira it can't come in its place first so it has to go back and get behind but when it gets behind it's still ism inna so it still has to be mansub that's the point okay shall we do it again over here okay look this is our sentence ikhwatun li this is harf jar and majroor right ikhwatun li this is the mubtada and the mubtada is marfoon right is marfoon if you place inna here the ism inna now becomes what ism inna the ism inna is mansub
Right? So it's easy to know that this inna ikhwatun, this ikhwatun becomes what? Ikhwatan. Inna ikhwatan li. Verily, they are brothers for me. I have brothers. But because the mubtada in this case is nakira, it's nakira, means it's indefinite. And the khabar here is a shibah jumla. Shibah jumla. Then this has to come first, and this goes to the back. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. 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 لا إله إلا الله صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلى الله عليه وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد. طيب إن شاء الله we'll close with this. First thing, there are two points here in this lesson that you need to know. Laysa, what it means and how it works. Okay, and you have to know that there are two different ways that they use it. Sometimes they use it with harf jar ba and sometimes they don't. If it's with harf ja, it becomes majroor, the khabar. If it's not, it's mansoob. Okay? The other thing you need to know is that when you have a sentence where the mubtada is not definite, it's indefinite, and the khabar is a shibah jumla, then the order of the mubtada and khabar is going to be reversed. So you have to pay attention to that when you start applying the rules of inna or the rules of laysa. You have to be conscious that sometimes the mubtada is not going to be first where it's supposed to be. It may come second. That's all you really have to understand in this lesson. That is really it. Now as you go through the exercises, you're going to see these points coming up. Okay, just pay attention to these two matters. Okay, what is the meaning of laysa? How does it work? What does it do to the mubtada and the khabr? Ism laysa, khabru laysa. Ism laysa is marfu'un. Khabru laysa is mansoob. Or, if ba is used with the khabr, then it becomes majroor. That's it. As far as the second point, is what? The mubtada and khabar sometimes reverse their order, and that's with two conditions. That the mubtada is what? Nakira, it's not definite. And number two, that the khabar is a shibah jumla. And the shibah jumla is either one of two things. It's a ja'ul majroor, or it's a zarf. Makan or zaman. It's one of those two things. Okay? That's it. That's it. So this lesson, really, we could have done it in about 10 minutes, and everybody could have went home early. But you asked too many questions. Tayyib, inshallah, please try to do the exercises. Come to the masjid for Maghrib or Isha and sit with the brothers. You know, we're going over the lessons. Some of the brothers are coming here every night. They're going over the lessons. Come and, you know, help each other, inshallah. Give a phone call to somebody and ask a question. Ask for some help and help each other. You know, if you got it, if you go through the lesson and you really got it, call another brother. Whoever brother that you're close to or you talk to or you want to get close to. If you don't really know a brother well, call him. Same thing with the sisters. Call a sister and get to know them. Call a brother and say, look, I was reading this thing. I think I got it. Check it with me. Let me try to explain to you, see if I'm right. You know you got it, but you're trying to help him, right? Or she's trying to help her. And talk to each other. Meet with each other. Visit. Go to the masjid. And try to work with it. You got 7 days.
Whatever you don't understand today, start reading it tomorrow. No, not tomorrow, tonight. Because Isha is real early. You got a long night. Okay, if you're not going to spend the whole night in Tarawih and Tahajjud, then spend a little bit of this night and reading some of this lesson. Inshallah, give a brother a call, sisters give a sister a call. And, you know, if you really get stuck and you stuck completely, and you don't find nobody to help, then you can call Abdulaziz. Because I don't have a telephone. Alhamdulillah. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.